Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Ozek B'mitzvah Patur Min HaMitzvah Part 2. Tonight's shiur will not be at all connected to last week's shiur, except for the fact that it's on, generally speaking, the same topic. One of the questions that we asked is the very first Rashi in the sugya that we're learning. The very first Rashi says something which, at first glance, seems to be a little bit strange. Rashi says, Shluchei mitzvah, holchei baderech mitzvah kigon lilmod Torah olahakul pnei rabav l'tashui. One of the examples that Rashi gives of a guy who's on his way to do a mitzvah and therefore is exempt to do a mitzvah, one of the examples that Rashi gives is a guy who's on his way to study Torah. He's going to hear a shir. Let's say tonight, you were, technically speaking, tonight, you're driving your car, well, let's say you were walking. You're walking from home on the way to come to learn Torah. You're walking, it's like my eyes in case. We'll see it in a couple of weeks. Holech, to hear a shir. And a poor person, you meet a guy, and then you're on your way to Rishon, and a poor person sticks out his hand and says he needs money. And let's say that if you had to stop and deal with him and hear who he is and check him out a little bit and see, it'll take you 5 minutes till you hear the whole story, and you miss the first 5 minutes of the shir. Well, maybe that's not a good example. Let's say you're on your way to the shir. So you're holchei b'derech, you're on your way to the shir. So that's the case that Rashi says, Osek b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah. If you're involved, you're not actually learning, but you're on your way to learn. On your way to learn exempts you from other mitzvahs. So you're not obligated. You don't have to stop and give the guy money. You're on your way to do a mitzvah. The problem with the example that Rashi selects, a guy is on his way to learning Torah, is because there are other gemaras. There's a gemara in Maseches Shabbos. There's a gemara in Maseches Moed Katan. And the Rambam paskens like the other Gemaras. The other Gemaras seem to say clearly that we do not apply the rule of Osek b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah to the study of Torah. The study of Torah is one of those exceptions to the rule that we do not apply the rule of Osek b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah. If you're in the middle of shaking a lulav, if you're in the middle of blowing shofar, if you're in the middle of doing another mitzvah of eating in a sukkah, something like that, then we would apply the rule of Osek mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah. However, if you're studying Torah, we do not paskin Osek mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah. Here's the Gemara Masechet Shabbos. The Gemara Masechet Shabbos says, Tanya chaverim shehayu oskim b'Torah mafsikin l'kriya shma ve'ein mafsikin l'tfilah. You have a big Talmud Chacham who's studying Torah, so he should stop learning to say Shema, but he doesn't stop learning to say Shemona Esrei. Presumably, Shema is a mitzvah d'oraisa, Shema is a mitzvah d'rabbanan. Am Rabbi Yochanan, that's only Kigon Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai v'Chaveirav, that's only a big Talmud Chacham. Shetorasa Numnasa, that Torah is all they do. Avo Kigon Anu, that we're a lower level Talmud Chacham. Mavsik in the Kriya Shema, Ola Tvila! Most mortal people, you're in the middle of learning, and this man Kriya Shema comes. Or does man tefillah come? You have to stop learning and davening Kriya Shema. Stop learning and say Shema Esrei. And the Rambam paskens this way. Haya osek b'talmud Torah. The Rambam in Hilchos Kriya Shema. Perek Beis Halacha. Hey, the Rambam writes. Haya osek b'talmud Torah. Guy was learning. V'yigi azman Kriya Shema. Posek v'kore u'mavarach v'fei l'acharav. So it sounds like, and again, our Gemara says a chasan on the night of his chasan does not say Kriya Shema. Because Osek mitzvah part of the mitzvah. So asks all the Achronim over here against this Rashi. Ask all the Achronim. If we know that the Gemara and the Rambam, the Gemara seems to conclude and the Rambam paskens, that if you're studying Torah, you're not exempt, that breaks the rules. We don't apply the rule of Osek b'mitzvah, part of the mitzvah to a person who's studying Torah. If you're studying Torah, you're not exempt. So how could the first Rashi that we learned in the sugya, how could it say that if you're on your way to study Torah, that's the example of shluchei mitzvah that are peturim min ha-sukkah? If you're learning Torah, that doesn't exempt you. Well, then how could it be if you're on your way to learn Torah, then that does exempt you? Makes no sense. All the Achronim are bothered by this Rashi. So, I saw there are a couple of answers to this question. So one of them is an interesting answer which the Or Sameach offers, and it's based on a Gemara in Maseches Ksubos. And a Tosas in Maseches Ksubos. Based on a Gemara and a Tosas in Maseches Ksubos. The Gemara in Maseches Ksubos states, Mivatlin Talmud Torah Lahutzoras HaMeis. That's another Gemara, where the Gemara says that if there's a mace, if there's a funeral, so let's say, right, if a person's in yeshiva, and then but he has to go to a levaya, one of his relatives, so you stop learning, you have to stop learning to deal with the burial of a dead person. That's what the Gemara says. Comes along Tosis and has the following kasha b'sechus. The kasha, this is Tosis. Tosis is kasha. The behilchos derech eretz. Behilchos derech eretz is probably mesechus derech eretz. That's the mesechtos ketanos that you could find in Shas at the end of Sanhedrin. It's like brises that were collected. The behilchos derech eretz amir Rabbi Akiva tchilas tashmishi lefnei chachamim. That Rabbi Akiva, the great Rabbi Akiva, says one of the first lessons I got from my rabbeim was as follows. When the young Rabbi Akiva, when tchilas tashmishi lechachamim, pam achas hayisim halach b'derech. Rabbi Akiva says a story. One time I was walking along the way, umatzasi meis mitzvah, and I found a dead body that there was nobody to bury it. There was nobody to bury it. Meis mitzvah means Pashup Shana, a dead body, that there's a dead person, that there was nobody, no relatives, nobody was around to bury the Meis Mitzvah. V'nitfalti bo dalad milin. And I carried this dead body for 4 mil, ad sheheveisiv lebeis akvaros ukivarti, until I found a cemetery, and I buried myself, I buried this Meis Mitzvah in the cemetery. And when I came and I told what I did, I was so proud of my good deed that I came and I told my Rabbi and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yeshua, Amruli, they said to me, I'll call psio psila every step that you took, ki'ilu shafachta dam naki. It's like you spilled innocent blood. Whew. So Tosus asked a question, wait a second. Gemara says, "Mevatlin Talmud Torah lo tzas hameis." The Gemara says that you're supposed to stop learning. You're supposed to stop learning to take out, to bury a dead person. So why did Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yeshua say it was a horrible act that you did of spending so much time to go bury this dead person? Presumably, the reason why it was such a horrible thing, they got so angry at him, is because he spent a lot of time. What did he spend so much time doing this? He should have been in the base measures learning. So asks Tosus, what do you mean? The Gemara says, you're mevatel Talmud Torah for Hotzahas HaMeis. What do you get? What they get so angry at Rabbi Akiva? That every step that you took, you Kila Shirat HaMakit. So Tosus has two answers. V'yesh Lomar. Tosus, answer number one. This is a Tosus in Ksubis, Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. Answer number one. V'yesh Lomar. D'hasam lav mishim bitl Torah. The reason they got so angry at him was not because of the bitl Torah. Ela mishim the meis mitzvah kana makoma. The halacha of a meis mitzvah is that you're supposed to bury a meis mitzvah in the place that you find it. It's a bizayon of the meis to take it. And a meis mitzvah, wherever the guy dies, if he dies in the middle of nowhere or in somebody's property, doesn't make a difference. Meis mitzvah kana makoma. V'hayu lo lekover b'makom shematzo. And he should have buried him in the place that he found him. V'chein mashma b'mesechus machos. Another one of the mesechus ketanos. Tekamar meis mitzvah kana makoma. V'ha'over al divrei chachamim chayiv misef. The chachamim said, meis mitzvah is kana makomo, and he didn't listen. He says, oh, I know the rabbi said he's supposed to bury the meis mitzvah right there because the meis mitzvah is kana makomo. He's supposed to bury him right there out of his kavod. And oh, I'm going to say, no, I'm going to think I'm going to be smarter than the rabbis, and I'm going to bring it to the Beis HaKfaris, because that's even more kavod. So if you think that you know more than the Talmidei Chacham, what's a bigger kavod meis mitzvah, that's kilu shafach the dam naki. You're chayiv misa because you violated the dinim of the chacham. Hang on 1 second. V'chein am Rabbi Akiva tchilas tashmishi lefnei tamini chacham. Fine, that's the first answer. The second answer Tosus gives is v'harav Rabbeinu Yehuda mikorbil. The Rimi Korbil answers tirets the hasam mishum de bidel atzmo mishimush tamini chachamim ka'amar. The Godol Shimusha Yoser Milimuda. So apparently, so the second answer is, the Rimi Korbil says in Taisus that there, the reason why the Rabbi Elazar Yeshua said to Rabbi Akiva,
and every step that you took was kilu shafata dam naki, was because even though it's true that we're mevatel actual learning Torah, lo tzoras ameis, even though it's true, that's even more comfortable, even though it's true that we're mevatel actual Talmud Torah for hotzoras ameis, that's when it comes to Talmud Torah proper. Learning of Torah itself, we're mevatel for hotzoras ameis. However, says the Rimi Kravil, apparently, Rabbi Akiva was supposed to be with his Rabbeim, Rabbi Lezim, Rabbi Yeshua. He was supposed to be with them or watching them or learning from them. And we know we have a rule. Gadol Shimusha Yoser Milimuda. Now let's just first explain what this means. Simple pshat. Gadol Shimusha Yoser Milimuda. The simple pshat means that to be Mishamesh Atamu Chacham, to be Mishamesh Atamu Chacham, to watch the way Atamu Chacham speaks, the way Atamu Chacham acts, the way Atamu Chacham talks, the way Atamu Chacham deals with his family, the way Talmud Chacham behaves, that's even greater than the study of Torah. Gadol Shimusha, to be Mishamish Talmud Chacham, Gadol Shimusha, Yosem Milimuda. So Tosus and Ksuba says, the second answer is that even though actual Talmud Torah itself, of course, he should have been Mevatel, but to be the fact that he had the opportunity during that time to be Mishamish Talmud Chacham, that's even greater than the study of Torah. And for that, he should not have been Osik in the Meis Mitzvah. Let him go be Mishamish Tam Chacham, and afterwards come back and deal with the Meis Mitzvah. But to give up Shimush Tamini Chachamim, that he shouldn't have done. Now hang on 1 second. So, just as a side point, let's first get back to the answer. So the Or Sameach wants to use this idea to answer our Rashi. Or Sameach wants to do that idea. Because we ask the question, if Talmud Torah itself, we do not apply the rule of Osek B'mitzvah, Potim B'mitzvah to the study of Torah itself, we don't apply the rule, then how come somebody who's walking to study Torah, he, we say, we do apply the rule of Osek Mitzvah, the Mitzvah, it doesn't make any sense in the world. If the study of Torah itself doesn't exempt you from another mitzvah, how could walking towards the study of Torah exempt you? Makes no sense. Or Sameach wants to suggest something along these lines. No. The study of Torah itself, we don't apply the rule of that's true. But someone who's running to study Torah or cares about studying Torah or is excited about studying Torah, that would go under the general category of Shimush Talmud Chacham. Someone who's to be mishamish, because what's the whole idea of why God will shimush yosem mudu? Because you're learning much more than the actual Torah itself. You're learning how to live Torah, how to be somebody who cares about Torah, that the Torah is in your neshama, in your gut. So someone who's on his way, maybe we don't want to interrupt you. You're showing your excitement to go. That's considered part of shimusha, especially, just to add this one point. My Rosh Yeshiva, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, Rav Goldwicht, used to add about this also, about this line. So what does it mean, alcohol psi? On every step you took, it's as if you spilled clean blood. What kind of graphic language is that? Okay, fine, very nice. Gadol Shimush, Yosim Luda, but where's the blood that was spilled? So he wants to say, no, doesn't mean this is a Rosh Yeshiva talking, of course, who talks to B'nai Yeshiva who's sitting learning all day. But he said like this, because the Gemara says in Maseches Brachos, the Gemara says, Tanar Banan, Ezeu Am Aretz. What's an Am Aretz? Kol She'ena Korik Kriyash Ma'aretz V'Shachos. Rabbi Yeshua says, Kol She'ena Menech B'Tilin. Ben Azeh says, Kol She'ena Lo Tzitzis B'Bigdo. Rabbi Nassan says, Kol She'ena Lo Mezuzah Apisro. Rabbi Nassan by Yosef Omer, Kol She'ena Yishir Banan Ve'ena Megadim Lo Talmud Torah. You have kids and you don't teach them Torah. Acher Omer, Afilu Kara V'Shana V'Lo Shimesh Tamidei Chachamim. Even a person who learned Chumash and he learned Mishnah, but he learned Torah Shebichtav, Torah Shebaal Peh. V'lo shimesh tamidei chachamim, if he wasn't mishamesh tamidei chachamim, harei ze am ha'aretz. Person who learned Torah Shebichtav, Torah Shebaal Peh, but he wasn't mishamesh tamidei chachamim, is considered to be an am ha'aretz. Now, again, the simple pshat here means, we know what this means, right? You can learn, and if you don't know how to apply the learning, if you never... watch the Talmud Chacham, if you didn't have a relationship with a Rebbe, you didn't have a relationship with Gedolei Torah, so you could really be an Am Haaretz, even if you have the book smarts, if you don't know how to apply it, that's the simple pshat. If you look at Rashi says something different over there. What does Rashi say? What does it mean, you're an Am Haaretz if you're not Mishamish Talmud Chacham? It means, Kara, Bishana, you learned Chumash, you learned Mishnah, but what didn't you learn? You didn't learn Gemara.
That's what it means. Rashi says, Shiloshimish Tamil Chachamim. What does it mean to be Mishamish Tamil Chachamim? Again, simple Pshat of the Gemara means to be Mishamish Tamil Chachamim, means to serve the Tamil Chachamim. Rashi says not like that. Rashi says, Hu a Gemara Atluya Besvara.
They would give reasons for the halachas. They would come together, and they would, right, they would get into the base medrash and they would talk over the dinim and try to analyze them. That's what it means to be mishamish tamni chacham. What do you mean mishamish tamni chacham? No, Rashi says not like the pashm shah. Pashm shah means it means to serve a tamni chacham. Rashi says, no, you know what Shemesh Tamachal means? You're an Amoritz if you learn Chumash and you learn Mishnah, but you don't learn Gemara. You don't know how to analyze things. You don't know how to apply things. You don't know how to ask the right questions. So that's what it means. So the Rosh Hashiva said, so what do you see? I'll call Psia. If you go back to the Tosas and Ksuba, said the Rosh Hashiva, that if you, so he wanted to say that, going back to Tosas, right, that on every step that you took, it's as if you... If you weren't gadol shimusha yosem melimuda, if you weren't mishamish talmid chacham, so it's as if you shafachta dam naki. So you wanted to say a little bit alpi drush, but you wanted to say kilo shafachta dam naki means that a person who had the ability to study Torah and to study Gemara and to become a certain level of talmid chacham, and he didn't do it, it's as if he spilled innocent blood. What's the innocent blood that he spilled? It's the blood of himself that you're shechting. The Talmud Chacham that you could have become, the Jew that you could have become. That's what she wanted to say. I'll call Psiu Psiu on every step that you took, that you weren't Mishamish Talmud Chacham, you didn't learn when you were able to learn. So it's as if you slaughtered innocent blood, means because you shechted the person who you could have become by putting that effort and energy into learning. At any rate, this is Pshat number one. But Pshat number two, I think you're going to enjoy very much. Pshat number two was offered by Mori V'Rabbi, a Gaon of Aaron Lichtenstein, Shlita. Aaron Lichtenstein gives a second explanation for Rashi. And he did it in a very long way. I'll take the question in 1 second. He did it in a very expanded way. I'm just going to say very, very briefly where Aaron wanted to say that this article, Aaron wrote a whole article on this question, basically. He wrote like a 20-page article on this question. And the question of again, he asked about 10 questions, but his main question that he wants to know is our question. And that is, why is it that Talmud Torah itself, you're mevatel Talmud Torah, you don't say osik mitzvah, you stop your learning and go do a mitzvah, but when it comes to walking to Talmud Torah, there we do apply the rule of osik mitzvah. So just very simply and short way that Rav Aaron said it, Rav Aaron said that there is an aspect, he said very simply, that someone who's studying Torah and doesn't get up to do a mitzvah, that's called Lomed Shelah Amanas Lasos. That's called Lomed Shelah Amanas Lasos. One of the most important aspects of the study of Torah, one of the most important aspects, it's certainly not the only important aspect, but one of the most important aspects of studying Torah is that you should be able to perform mitzvos. That's why you're supposed to study the Torah, to do mitzvos. So if you're in the middle of learning and the opportunity to do a mitzvah comes along and you don't do it, so then you're a Lomed Shelah Amanas Lasos. The Gemara has terrible things about someone who's lomit shalom and as lasos, right? The Yerushalmi, according to the Reich Gemara, says it's ki'ilu nefach lo shilya apanav ha'alkol lomit shalom and as lasos one mutan lo shalom nivro call lomit shalom and as lasos as if he was never born. Ki'ilu nefach lo, the Yerushalmi has a language, someone who learns Torah and doesn't do it, doesn't practice what he learns, it's like his the nefach lo shilya apanav, it's like his placenta was smacked back in his face. So said Rav Aaron like this. Said Rav Aaron, in the Sefer Kavod HaRav, right, they published, Yeshiva University published a Sefer in honor of Rav Soloveitchik's 80th birthday. 70th or 80th? I think it was the 80th birthday. Kavod HaRav. So Rav Aaron has an article in the Kavod HaRav, an 80th birthday, and he wanted to answer up Rashi with this idea. Because why is it that normally Talmud Torah breaks the rule that we don't apply the rule of Osik Mitzvah to Talmud Torah? Because by Talmud Torah, we have a principle of Kol HaLomid Shelah Amanas Lasos Kilu Nefach Lo Shili Apanav. One of the most important goals, it's not the only goal, but one of the most important goals of Talmud Torah is that you should know what to do. So if you're studying Torah and the opportunity to do a mitzvah comes along, and you don't get up from the learning and do the mitzvahs, so what was the whole point of you learning? The whole point of you learning is that you should do. So if you're not going to do so, that's why osik mitzvah part of mitzvah. So suggested Rav Aaron, maybe that only applies if you're actually learning Torah. But if you're learning Torah, then you have to stop learning to do. But if you're just on your way to studying Torah, so you're not actually learning Torah, so you're not going to be a lomid shelo amanas lazos if you're actually on your way to learn Torah. So that's why Rashi says if you're on your way to learn Torah, then you're exempt from mitzvahs. But if you actually study the Torah, then you have to stop and go do the mitzvah. Anyway, it's a shvera Rashi, whichever way you look at it, but these are some of the suggestions the Achronim had to say. Again, it's the first Rashi, so we spent a lot of time. Mayor, I'm sorry.
Is it possible, or is there a difference between the nature of the mitzvah of Mace Mitzvah, because it's like for several reasons. Maybe you can't, the mitzvah, as I recall, is you can't pass by. Mitzvah Bar Yochal Tachin Tzena, you have to bury the person right there. It's not like, it's not being misasik with the mace, it's burying him. The mitzvah is to be covered. So that's different than just two mitzvahs that you could fill at any time during the day. Here, when you're, it's sort of like what Rav Aaron is saying almost. It's like, here you have the opportunity to do a mitzvah that you cannot pass by, you cannot do all your day shalach, you have to bury him right there.
Good.
So
we will, we're going to, good, that can definitely be a possibility, and we are going to come to that point very shortly about Mace Mitzvah in a Rashi over here. So that svara does come up, and you're right. You could give that answer also. That could be the answer as well. Rabosei, let's learn some Gemara. I'm sorry.
If going to the Shir is Shimush Tamei Chacham, then what's Lahato Pnei Rambo? That would also seem like Shimush Tamei Chacham.
Yeah, except that that's a different mitzvah. That's Chayav Adam Lahato Pnei Rambo Berego. But you're saying that should also be Shimush Tamei Chacham. Yeah,
two examples of the same idea.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's a separate mitzvah. That is a separate mitzvah. Good, interesting point. We'll have to see. The Gemara mentions both. We'll see. Let's learn some Gemara. Shluchim mitzvah peturim in asukah. So if you're on your way to do a mitzvah, you're exempt from the sukkah, cholonim shamshen, peturim in asukah. If you're a sick person, you're helping somebody who's a sick person, you're exempt from the sukkah. We'll talk about why that is. Ochlim v'shosin arai chutz l'sukkah. You eat and drink.
Is there a sheet?
I'm sorry, did I?
Not have kafe on them. Oh, it's two-sided.
Sorry. Ochlim v'shosin, sorry, I should
have. No.
Ochlim v'shosin arai chutz l'sukkah. You can eat and drink temporarily outside the sukkah. We talk a lot about that. How much can you eat outside the sukkah? So let's do some Gemara over here. Minan immediately from where do we know these words? That there's a din called Osik Mitzvah Pratam and Mitzvah, the Tanah Rabban and the Rabbis, Totten Abrais. Veshiftacha beveisecha prat lo Osik Mitzvah. Says you should say Shema when you're sitting at home in your house, when you're sitting around doing nothing. Veshiftacha beveisecha, when you're sitting around doing nothing. But if you're in the middle of doing, good idea, open that up. But if you're in the middle of doing, if you're in the middle of doing, let's leave the windows open. Good idea, turn on the heat. If you, so, he was busy turning on the air conditioner. Okay. B'shiftecha v'veisecha is prat l'cha prat l'osek mitzvah. So when v'ayu adorim el shanochim tzav chayim al v'vecha v'shinantim l'vanecha v'dibar tabom, when should you say kriya shma? B'shiftecha v'veisecha, when you're sitting around doing nothing. But if you're involved in a mitzvah, you don't say shma. Okay. That's the next line. Very good, guy. Here we go. Prat l'chasa. You also should say Shema when you're walking along the way. So the assumption is, when you're walking along the way, the Gemara is going to say in a second, when you're walking along the way, just to do whatever you feel like doing. But if you're walking on the way to do a mitzvah, then you're exempt. We'll see. Give it 1 second. Prat l'chasa. This comes to exclude that a chasan on the night of his chasana is exempt from Kriya Shema. Now, obviously, a chasana on the night of Ischasana, but a chasana on the night of Ischasana is involved in a mitzvah. What mitzvah? We'll talk about that. That's one of my favorite topics. We're back to Heksher Mitzvah Ksuv Rekar. Can't get away from that topic. But we'll see. What mitzvah is the chasana involved in? Is it a mitzvah to get married? Is that a mitzvah? The Rambam says it is a mitzvah. The Rosh sounds like it's not a mitzvah to get married. The mitzvah is pruvu to have kids. So maybe he's involved in that mitzvah. What, he's having a kid tonight? Maybe. Maybe that's the beginning. Who knows? Whatever, that's a discussion. What mitzvah? But presumably the chasana on the night of his wedding is involved in a mitzvah. We'll talk about it. Now, the obvious problem here, which Rashi and Tosafot both ask, is why does the Gemara need two psukim? If Belech Chava Derech is also a mitzvah, if a chasana the first night is also a mitzvah, so wait a minute. Shifta Chava Veistecha says, if you're involved in a mitzvah, you're exempt from another mitzvah. Belech Chava Derech teaches me, if you're a chasana, you're exempt from a mitzvah. What do you mean? A chasan is involved in a mitzvah. What's the difference between osik mitzvah, part of a mitzvah, and b'shiftecha b'veisecha? And why do you need a separate pasuk for chasan?
So both Rashi and Tosafot address it. We'll talk about it in one second. From here the rabbi is taught. Hakonis is a basula part of his almana chayev. If you marry a basula, you are exempt from Shema. If you marry an almana, you are obligated in Shema. Why is that? We'll talk about it. The Gemara is going to explain it in a few seconds. But presumably, the Gemara is going to end up saying that if you marry a woman who's a basula, she's never been married before, she's a virgin, she's a basula, so you are nervous. What are you nervous about? A dispute with Rishonim? Let's assume, Pashup Shat, you're assuming maybe she's not a basula, right? You wrote the Ksuba 200, and maybe she's not a basula, she's trying to rip you off for the $100. So you're nervous. Or just stam, you're nervous, Pashup Shat, that she's never had relations before, so you're all nervous about it. Hakar is a basula, Pata Vesalmana Chayiv. But if you marry an almana, you're going to be obligated. Now let's just look at that Rashi, where Rashi discusses this question. Look at Rashi, Uvletcha Baderech Prat Lachas, in the bottom right-hand side. Or if you prefer, looking at the smart board, you can see the Rashi over here. Uvletcha Baderech Prat Lachas, says Rashi, it's in the first wide line. Va'af al-gav duhu nami b'mitzvah tarid. Asks Rashi, why do I need two psukim? B'shiftecha b'esecha teaches me, if you're involved in a mitzvah, you're exempt from another mitzvah. What do you mean? A chassan is involved in a mitzvah. What's the difference between a guy involved in a mitzvah and a chassan? A chassan is involved in a mitzvah. What do you need to say? Pasuk of a chassan. So Rashi says, "Alkav du nami mitzvah tari, it's shrichelu trei kroy. You need two pesukim. Di havik sidchad. If it would have only had one pasuk, kevan de chassav lav behedik sid bekro. Since chassan is not explicitly in the pasuk, hava mina I might have thought lo pater hakasav ella." Torah va'osa meleches mitzvah b'yadayim. I might have thought that the Torah only exempts someone who is actively involved in doing and performing an active mitzvah. Oh, mahalik le mitzvah. Or at least you're walking to the mitzvah. Avol chasam. But a chasam on the night of his wedding. Shil yoshevu batel. He's sitting around doing nothing. He's just biding his time. And he's just nervous. Ve'eno osik. He's not doing anything. He's sitting and eating the meal at the chassan's tish. He's not osik. Ela torid v'machsheves bila. He's just nervous. He's worried. He's sick with worry over the fact that he's going to have relations. Lo pater hakosov. So you might have thought that the Torah does not exempt someone who's just passively nervous about a mitzvah. Someone who's doing a mitzvah or walking through a mitzvah. He's pater from doing a mitzvah. He's working. He's doing something. And the guy is just sitting and he's nervous about a mitzvah. He's nervous. So the Torah says, so get your whole thoughts together and say Shema. What's the big deal? Get nervous. Get your thoughts together. You have a mitzvah to say Shema. Says the pasuk, no. Hilkach. Mikra Yisera Hashemina. The extra pasuk teaches me. Blat the Chabadera teaches me. Tosus flips the psukim around, but the Kriyas Hashemina, the Patim Kriyas by the Torah of Machsheves. Okay, very interesting. So there's two Peturim of Osik Mitzvah. One is Osik Mitzvah, a guy who's actually doing something. And the second thing is, even if a guy's nervous and thinking about it, and he's worrying about a mitzvah, he's also exempt from a mitzvah. That's Belechtecha Baderech. B'shiftecha B'veisech is a guy who's doing a mitzvah, exempt from another mitzvah. Belechtecha Baderech, even a guy who's thinking about a mitzvah, is also exempt from a mitzvah. Fine. Let's take the Gemara a little bit further. So the Gemara says, my mashma, where do you see this in the pasuk? That's a Gavi asked before. What do you mean? Belechtecha Baderech. Maybe you're on your way to do a mitzvah, right? That's what you asked earlier. That was your question, right? Maybe Belechtecha Baderech. You're on your way to do a mitzvah. You still got to say Shema. Right. My mashma, where do you see this in the pasuk? I'm Rav Huna Kiderech. No, it's got to be like a Derech. Ma Derech Rishus. Just like Derech means you're walking along the way. So the simple pshat of walking along the way means you're going to just do an optional act. Af kol rishus, you only chayv to say Shema when you're involved in an optional act. La fuke hai de mitzvah also comes to exclude chassan who is involved in the mitzvah. Says the Gemara, what do you mean? Like Gavi's question. Milo askin in the kazal dvar mitzvah kam rechmona likri. Who says? How do you know that you're walking along the way means you're going to do a rishus? Maybe you're on your way to do a mitzvah. Maybe you're on, and the Torah still says read Shema even when you're on your way to do a mitzvah. Imkei lemakra b'sheves uvaleches. No, then it should have just said b'sheves. Look, my b'shif techa. No, if you're walking for yourself, you're obligated, but if you're walking for a mitzvah, you are exempt. That's b'shiftecha and b'lechtecha. If it's for your own personal reason, you say Shema. If you're walking for Hashem's reason, if you're walking on your way to do a mitzvah, you don't have to say Shema. Yihachi afilu kones amana nami. Isn't marrying an amana also a mitzvah? So how come if you're marrying an amana, you're also on your way to do a mitzvah? You're also thinking about a mitzvah.
So Mar says, no, konis is a basul tarid. If you're marrying a basul, you're nervous. Konis almana lo tarid. If you're marrying an almana, you're not nervous. So again, the Gemara seems to say now that it all depends on nerves. So which is it? Does it depend on mitzvah? Does it depend on nerves? That's what the Gemara elaborates right now. Very important point. Says the Gemara, v'chol hecha de tarid. The Gemara thought at this point we meant that any time you're nervous, and it's all about the nerves, so anytime you're nervous, you're exempt from Shema, and the Havamina would be like this. That if you're nervous, look, you can't have kavana. Bottom line is, you're nervous. You're nervous, so you can't do it. You can't have kavana. So the Gemara says, if any time you're nervous, you're exempt from Shema. Elameata, if that's true, tavas vinaso bayam, right? The guy's ship is drowning at sea. The Gemara says, elameata, tavas vinaso bayam, if the guy's ship is drowning at sea, right? Tavas vinaso bayam, or the guy's ship is drowning at sea, detarid, that he's nervous, hachanami depati, you say he's exempt from Kriya Shema? So now the Gemara says this, chitem hachanami. Maybe he'll say, yeah, it's true. A guy whose ship's drowning at sea, he's nervous, he's fatrach, there's no way he's going to be able to think about Shema, he's losing $1 million, he's not going to be able to do it. You want to tell him he's exempt? So what's the Gemara's proof that that's not true? Ovel chayav b'chol mitzvos amur is b'torah. An ovel is chayav in all mitzvos chutz min ha'tfilin shari nemar behen pe'er. Except for tfilin, that tfilin are called glory. We'll talk about this at length, probably a little bit next week, or a little bit now, but a little bit next week. An ovel is chayav in all mitzvos, even though an ovel is very turret, he's thinking about the loss that he just had. Someone who's in avelos, saying he's fatracht, his mind is elsewhere, it's hard to focus. But yet, an ovel is chayav in all mitzvos except for tfilin on the first day. Ovel on the first day doesn't wear tfilin, but all other days, he's chayav, b'chol mitzvos b'torah, he's chayav in everything. Which means even kriyashma and ovel chayav, even if he's nervous. So the Gemara proves from here, you can't say if your ship's drowning at sea that you're part of Shema, because an ovel is chayav in Shema. And if a guy whose ship's drowning at sea is potter in Shema, then an ovel should have been potter in Shema. Because an ovel's nervousness is a turn into Rishus. Answer the Gemara, you're right. Hacha tarot to the mitzvah, hasn't tarot to the Rishus. The answer is that you're right. The only time you're potter is where you're nervous about a mitzvah. So if you're marrying a basula, you're nervous about a mitzvah. If you're marrying an almana, you're not nervous. So then it's not a problem. But you're marrying a basula, you're nervous about a mitzvah if you're potter mishma. But if your ship is drowning at sea, you're nervous, it's true. But that's not being nervous about a mitzvah. It's just I'm nervous. And what about an ovel? An ovel's chayv in shma. Why? Because an ovel is also nervous. He's all upset. He can't focus. But that nervousness, interestingly, we're going to speak about this right now, the nervousness of an ovel, the pain and the tears of an ovel, listen to this, is not part of the mitzvah. Look at Rashi. Amazing Rashi. I'll elaborate on this in 1 second. Look what Rashi says. He says, look at the Rashi about ovel. Tir de Rishos. Look at the third from the bottom. Third from the bottom line in Rashi. Third from the bottom line page. Look what he says about Tir de Rishos. He says that the worry of an ovel is a Rishos. Look what he says. She'afal pi shu chayev leno gavelos shel ne'ila rechitza v'sicha laharos kavod meso. Says Rashi. An ovel is obligated to not wear leather shoes and to not take a shower and to not put on deodorant, whatever, sikha, to not anoint himself in oils. Laharos kavod meso, to show kavod to the mace. However, eino chayav lehitztaer. There's no obligation on an ovel to feel pain. And let's talk about what this means for a second. What do you mean eino chayav lehitztaer? What do you mean the ovel's not chayav to feel pain? That's not true. Look at the Rambam. Abbas, look at what the Rambam says. Rav Soloveitchik analyzed this in the following way. Look at the way Rav Soloveitchik analyzed it. So again, our Gemara seems to say that an ovel has a mitzvah to not wash and to not take a shower, to not shave, to not wear like shoes. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Avelos, mitzvahs asei lehisabel al akro. The Rambam says, mitzvahs asei lehisabel al akro. Very interesting. Rambam says, sounds even like it's a mitzvah, the same in our Torah, right? Could be that Avilus Yom Rishon is Doraisa, that's a discussion. The mitzvahs are said to be misabel on your relative. Interestingly, that's the Rambam in Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph. Now, how do you observe Avilus? Says the Rambam in Hilchos Avil, Perek Aleph Aleph, says the Rambam. Eilu Dvarim She'avil Asarim. The Rambam lists off 11 things that an Avil is not allowed to do. 11 things. What can he do? Eilu Dvarim She'avil Asarim, but Yom Rishon Minat Torah. On the first day, it's even Minat Torah, the Rambam paskins.
uveshar yomim midivrayim, all the other days of Eilus, avos asim midirabbanan, also l'saper, he can't take a haircut, l'chabes, he can't wash his clothing, or wear freshly laundered clothing, v'lerichotz, he can't take a shower, v'losach, and to anoint himself in oil, v'lishamish mitosim, avos not allowed to have marital relations, v'linol sasandla, he's not allowed to wear little shoes, v'las is malacha, an avos not supposed to go to work for 7 days, v'likros bedivrei Torah, an avos not allowed to learn Torah, v'liz kofes amita, right, that's in the times of the Gemara, they had this din, that you had to break down your bed, you couldn't, you're not allowed to sleep on a regular bed, you had to break it down somehow. V'lifroa es rosho, an avil had to keep his head covered, an avil had to wear like a covering, that's why some of the Talmidei Chachamim are mocked to wear a hat when they sit shiva, because that's some type of kisui rosh. But nowadays, generally we don't observe this, that because they used to wear hoods, whatever, so you have to keep your hood over, so you're not allowed to uncover your head before rosh. V'lishol shalom, right? Avil's not allowed to say shalom aleichem. You're not allowed to say shalom aleichem to an avil. You should have a question?
Yeah.
Hakol acharasar dovar. The Rambam says, so, yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I thought this goes to the issue that we had spoken about previously, whether or not there's a din to be misavil, like the Rambam says, and whether or not all those 11 things are just to bring us to a state of avelus, like we saw also, I think, by Yom Kippur, it's the inisam, and then all the things you're not supposed to do are just to bring us to a state of inui, but whether or not the din is the specific actions themselves.
So you're getting to exactly my point, because we learned this. That's true. So Shimi says like this. Again, let me just tell you the way Rav Soloveitchik said it. First of all, we start by posing a kash. There's a contradiction over here. Anybody see the contradiction? The Rambam starts at Hilchos Avos saying, Mitzvahs asay l'hisavel al krovim. There's an asay. Avos is a mitzvahs asay.
This is 11.
And when he goes to and tells you what you're supposed to do, he gives you 11 los asays. So how could you call Avos a mitzvahs asay if Soloveitchik wanted to know? In Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, the Rambam says it's a mitzvahs asay l'hisavel al krovim. And then when he tells you what to do, he tells you 11 things that you can't do. Where's the asay? How it's a los asay, so Soloveitchik said exactly as Shemi just said. Shots like this. It's true that the way you observe the Avelos is by doing 11 los asays, by abstaining from 11 acts. You can't this, you can't that. But all of that actually is to get you, all of these don'ts is really for the purpose of one do, and that is to feel the loss. All of this is so that you should show respect to the mace, and you should be focused on the mace, not on any physical comforts. You should just be focused on the mace, and you should feel the loss. The whole point is to feel the loss.
Okay.
So the point is that the asay is to feel the loss. Oh, so this just makes the kasha stronger. This makes the kasha. So the question is, how could our Gemara and Rashi, in explaining our Gemara, say that to feel tsa'ar over the mace is not part of the mitzvah of avilos? If Rav Soloveitchik just got finished saying the way he understands the Rambam, that the whole mitzvah asay, what's the asay? The asay is to feel the loss. Isn't to feel the loss part of the mitzvah? So how can Rashi and the Gemara say that to be with star over the mace is not part of the mitzvah? Right? That's called, it's rishus. So Rav Soloveitchik was bothered by this kasha. And the Sefer Rishimos Shiurim, right? And the Sefer Rishimos Shiurim, which is the Rav Soloveitchik's Shiurim on Sukkah, he was bothered by this kasha. So he wants to say, very interestingly, apparently,
how can you make a chiyuv on an emotional feeling?
So I think, Jay, that's exactly the point. That's why you got to do all these don'ts. That's all we could legislate.
You don't reach that point.
But all we could legislate is to do those things so that those things happen. Anyway, so if Soloveitchik wanted to suggest as an answer, you wouldn't say like this.
But Rashi says that these things don't cause tzar. He says it's a favor.
What does he say?
He says, even though he has to do these things, he doesn't have to be mitzar.
Eino chayev litzar.
So therefore, by doing these things, will not cause him to be mitzar.
So
saying there's a difference between avelus and tzar.
Exactly. So that's what Soloveitchik said. He even added a little knage to it. He said that there, obviously, you see from here that there's a difference between feeling the loss and feeling pain. He went so far as to say that maybe you could say that
while an Avel is supposed to focus on the dead person the whole time, and he's supposed to mourn the loss, he's supposed to miss the loss, but he isn't supposed to feel a level of pain. He isn't supposed to be a level of pain over that. As a matter of fact, he wanted to suggest that because it's part of his obligation to be to for tzedek hadin, it's part of our obligation to tzedek hadin to say, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that it was the right time for this person to go, so then a person has an obligation to not feel too much of the pain. Obviously, there's a visceral, natural emotion, but that's not part of the mitzvah of Avelos. The mitzvah of Avelos is to feel the loss, is to remember the dead person, is to. But apparently, there's this fine line between mourning and, you know, and feeling the loss and feeling pain over the loss. The pain is not, that's rishus. That's not part of the mitzvah. The mitzvah isn't to feel pain. The mitzvah is to mourn the person, to speak about the person, and to try to appreciate the loss. To appreciate the loss, to appreciate who the person was. But the pain is apparently, that's rishus. What we're suggesting is that the tirda is the fact that you can't even think, that you're so in pain that you can't focus. That's not part of the mitzvah. That's what he wants to say. And he wants to say even that's part of the tzedek hadin, that you have an obligation to compose yourself. He wants to say like this: the mitzvah that an avel has to say shema is part of the kabbalas omach l'shamayim that the avel must do. He must be able to say shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, because he must be able to put that p'tira in the context of his avodas Hashem. He has to be able to say shema. That's what he wants to say. That's what he's chayav all the mitzvahs. He has to be able to say Shema Yisrael. If an avil is so fatrapped that he can't get himself to say Shema Yisrael, there's something wrong. Or that's at least a rishus. That's not part of the mitzvah. The mitzvah is that you have to be able to be tzedek adin to say Shema Yisrael. Fascinating. Anyway, I thought it was fascinating. Okay. Fine. Good. So the Gemara. Further. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, there's, I think, another Torah from a Soloveitchik, similar to what you were saying, where he was saying that as to the tzedek hadin, that on the inside, a person is supposed to be the sympathetic with everything. Kolzman, Abed Rachmana, Latava. He's not supposed to feel any pain at all from the mace. But I think Rav Soloveitchik used that term, topical halacha, that on the exterior, he's supposed to be Noveg Dini Avelis at a Kavod HaMeis, and also as a chesed from Hashem for natural human emotion. But to your point in tzedek hadin, I think he was saying exactly that, which is he should be totally the sympathetic with everything.
Okay, it's not always an easy madriga to have. Not always an easy madriga to have, but agree. So the Gemara asks the following kasha: is it true that the source of osik mitzvah is? But we have a brisa that quotes a totally different source. Osik mitzvah part of mitzvah. Where is it? The sign within the brisa. There were people who were tamei who came to Moshe Rabbeinu and said, we want to be included in Karban Pesach, and we're going to be tamei for the Karban Pesach. We want to be included in the Karban Pesach. Osam anashim mihayu. Those people, who were they? Says the Gemara, who were they? Nosei arono shel Yosef hayu. These people were the people in the desert who were carrying the aron of Yosef. They came to Moshe and said, Lama nigara, why we don't want to be left out of the midst of Karban Pesach? We're tamei. We're carrying the Aron of Yosef. We're tamei. We can't bring the Karban Pesach. Divrei Rabbi Yosef Glili. Those are the words of Yosef Glili. Turn the page over. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Mishael v'El Tzafan hayu. Rabbi Akiva says they were Mishael and El Tzafan who were burying the Nadav and Avihu. They were burying Nadav and Avihu. Mishael and El Tzafan hayu. They were Mishael and El Tzafan who were burying Nadav and Avihu. Get to this first, okay? Rabbi Yitzchak says it can't be either though. It's no Aron Shel Yosef. If it's the people carried out of Yosef, Kfar Hayu Kol Mitar. They had plenty of time before Pesach. Just put down the bones of Yosef 12 days before Pesach. Get sprinkled by the Parah Aduma water. You're good to go for Pesach. What's the problem? They weren't camping. They weren't traveling for 10 months. They were sitting around the mountain for 10 months. They weren't going anywhere. Put down the Aron of Yosef. Study some Torah. Get yourself Torah. It's not a problem. Kfar Hayu Kol Mitar.
They made the camp.
I don't know, move a foot away. I mean, you just move a foot away, be mitari yourself, and watch it from a foot away. You don't have to be holding it, you don't have to be mitami. In Mishael v'Tzafan hayu chol mitar. If it was Mishael v'Tzafan, they already had time to be mitar. Why? Because when did none of the Adar Rosh Chodesh? Rosh Chodesh, they died, so they got plenty of time. Until Pesach, 14 days, they had plenty of time. So who was it? El Oskim b'meis mitzvah hayu
שחשביש לא מעבר פסח שנמר, לא יוכל לעשות פסח ביום ההוא. ביום ההוא אין יכול לעשות המוח ויועס. I realize I forgot one thing, so before I go into this whole thing, we'll get into this in a second, I want to first go back to one other thing, about Osik Mitzvah Pater Na Mitzvah. The examples that Rashi gave, back to those examples that Rashi gave. Rashi gave an example. What were Rashi's three examples? Rashi gave was a guy who's on his way to study Torah, a guy who's on his way to be pidyon shvuyim, a guy who's on his way to redeem captives. Okay, good. To study Torah, that's a mitzvah d'oraisa. To redeem captives, that's a mitzvah d'oraisa. But then Rashi gave another example. A guy who's on his way to go visit his Rebbe on Yom Tov. Because there's a din of chayv adam lahakul k'nei rabbi yom tov. I had a student when I was a Rebbe in MTA. I had a student who, he was my Talmud in 10th grade. It was the first year I was teaching, I think. 10th grade. From the time he was 14, lived in Muncie, from the time he was in 10th grade in my shiur when he was 15, till I believe about the time he was 27, 28, made Aliyah out of it, so it was a little hard to visit me from Eretz Yisrael. But this guy, he learned this halacha in my shiur in 10th grade. And since 10th grade, every Shavuos he couldn't come, but every Pesach and Sukkot, pretty much, he came to my house every single Pesach and Sukkot because he was mekaymes din of chayv for like 12 years consecutively. Chayv adam lahakul pnei rabbi v'regel. There is a din, you're supposed to visit your Rebbe on Yom Tov. There's a din. You're supposed to visit with your Rebbe on Yom Tov. Why? We'll talk about it. It's coming up in the two block. We'll learn it in two block. Let's learn that from Elisha. Right? That lo chodesh v'lo Shabbos. We'll see it in one second. So, here's the problem, Rabosai. The Mishnah says, if you're on your way to go visit your Rebbe, you're exempt from Sukkah. Wait a second. If you're on your way to go visit your Rebbe, you're exempt from the mitzvah of Sukkah. Shluchei mitzvah, p'tur min ha-sukkah. What's Rashi's example? Guy's on his way to go visit his Rebbe. Wait a second. Does that assume that someone who's on his way to do a mitzvah d'Rabbanan is exempt even from a mitzvah from the Torah? If you're on your way to do a mitzvah d'Rabbanan, look over the mitzvah of Holech, l'hakol p'nei rabo b'regel, that's a mitzvah mid'Rabbanan. Pidyon shvuyim, d'Oraisa. Talmud Torah is d'Oraisa. But can you learn from this Rashi, guy's Holech, l'hakol p'nei rabo, that a guy who's on his way to do a mitzvah d'Rabbanan is exempt from mitzvah d'Oraisa? That sounds a little bit strange. That if you're on your way to a d'Rabbanan, you should be exempted from a d'Oraisa. Sounds a little strange. So the Aruch Laner, the Achronim talk about this. So the Aruch Laner says, nah, it's no problem. Why? And Shir, we gave four answers to this kash with the guys. The guys actually figured out a number of the answers. I was very impressed. The Aruch Laner says, well, we all know that when you perform, that you're obligated to do all mitzvahs midrabbanan from the pasuk from the Torah. Right? All the drabbanans really have their source in the Chumash. Why? Because the Torah says in Parashat Shoftim, lo sasur min ha-davar she'yidu l'cho yaminu smol. That you have to listen to the rabbis. It's d'oraisa. Okay, we gave a shiur brachas 2 years ago, we talked about it. If that's true, so how come you have a rule, suffik d'oraisa, l'chumra, suffik d'rabbanan, l'kula, isn't every d'rabbanan really a d'oraisa? A whole discussion, the Rambam, the Ramban, and Sefer HaMitzvahs talk about this. But that's what the Aruch Laner is. One answer is, nah, every d'rabbanan really, in a certain sense, is a kiyum. Every time I fill d'rabbanan, I'm mekayim the mitzvah d'oraisa of lo sasur min ha-davar she'yagidu l'cho yaminu smol. Okay. The second answer is like this. The second answer, Aruch Laner gives another answer, that where's the source of the mitzvah that you have to visit your Rebbe on Yom Tov? Where's the source? It's a pasuk in Masechah Sukkah. That's the source. It's a pasuk in Sukkah. What's the source? So if you turn for 1 second to Chav Zayin and Bebeis, quote the pasuk. Chav Zayin and Bebeis. Malachim Beis, pasuk Dalet. Oh, you can't do it. Now I'm a Gemara, of course. Okay, Chav Zayin and Bebeis. Right. Madua at holeches elav hayom. Lo chodesh, v'lo shabbos. What was the story there, Avi? Who was running to
the woman after her son died in the field?
The Shunamis. Was it the Shunamis?
Woman.
The Shunami woman. Was it the Shunamis?
Isha Shunamis.
The Isha Shunamis, who promised her a son. Elisha.
Elisha gave her a son.
Elisha gave her a son.
He went out to the
and
field.
And the son, he went out to the field. His son died. And she, you know, said she has to go run to Elisha. So she comes home, she saddles up the horse, she gets ready, she's scared. And so her husband sees her and says, where are you going? Madua. So he says, I'm going to Elisha. So the husband says, I think it was the husband, says, Madua ad holechati lov, why are you going to Elisha? Lo chodesh v'lo Shabbos. It's not Yom Tov. Says the Gemara. So you learn from there, from that pasuk, that you're supposed to go visit your Rebbe on Yom Tov. Lo chodesh v'lo Shabbos. That's the source. So says the Aruch Laner in answer number two,
maybe it's not a derabbanan. It's not such a low level derabbanan. It's actually learned out from a pasuk and navi. Now, something learned out from a pasuk and navi, generally speaking, is derabbanan. It's divrei kabbalah. Divrei kabbalah. That's what it's called. So we have a rule that maybe something learned out from navi, it's not quite a low level derabbanan like a regular derabbanan. Divrei kabbalah can divrei torah damya. To a certain degree, at least it's learned out from a pasuk. So perhaps, as far as osik b'mitzvah, part of that mitzvah is concerned, it has a level of doraisa. So suggests the Aruch Haner. In the Sefer Bikur Yaakov, he has a third answer.
That doesn't help the issue with the rabbanim. So maybe in a doraisa level.
What do you mean? He wants to say that really maybe a pure derabbanan that's not learned out from a pasuk, you wouldn't say osik b'mitzvah part of the mitzvah. But something that's learned out from a pasuk, divrei kabbalah, divrei torah, damyan. As far as this issue is concerned, it's strong like divrei torah.
But teaching that also be a mitzvah is pater ben a mitzvah.
Yeah.
So that's on the Raisa level also. You have to know.
No, that's true. That's fine. But my question was, how could Rashi quote a case that was derabbanan? Why would you assume osik ben mitzvah derabbanan is exempt from
the
Raisa? No,
but how the fact that you learn the halacha of osik ben a mitzvah pater ben a mitzvah from divrei neviim say that the first mitzvah is derabbanan? How do you bring that to a derabbanan level? You're saying that osik mitzvah. Throwing in the words, osik mitzvah de oraisa, pater mitzvah de oraisa. I want to say, what about osik mitzvah de rabbanan, pater mitzvah de oraisa? So I said, the fact that I learn out the concept of osik mitzvah, pater mitzvah, from the rabbanan.
Why do we learn
it
from the rabbanan? We learn it from the
pasuk.
So what are you learning from me? Lahakbil play rabbo?
No, what am I learning from the pasuk? Lochorish loshavas, that there's a mitzvah to map play rabbo. But Rashi quotes as one of the examples of osik mitzvah pater mitzvah, a guy on his way to visit Israel.
Right. So I'm saying, so if you bring this to the level of a navi as opposed to just the rabbanan,
yeah.
So how do you still know for regular the rabbanan?
Oh, so we would assume regular rabbanan. No, you wouldn't say osik mitzvah pater mitzvah, as you'll see in 1 second, Rabbi Chana. 1 second. The Sefer Bikur Yaakov writes that maybe the mitzvah to visit your rebbe is a kiyum mitzvah d'oraisa of mora talmid chacham as Hashem elokecha tira. Who wants to say maybe there's a kiyum mitzvah d'oraisa of Covered for your Rebbe, that's a mitzvah d'oraisa. Even though lahakma for the rabbi is only the rabbanan, maybe cover for your Rebbe. But Rabbi Chanan, along the lines of what Avi just suggested, Rabbi Chanan Wasserman wants to suggest, no, maybe it's really true. Maybe it's really true that someone is osik mitzvah d'rabbanan is pater from a mitzvah d'oraisa. Where do you get that from? Because he says, look, where's the source? B'shiftecha b'meisecha. When you're sitting home doing your own business, that's when you chayim shema. If you're doing a mitzvah d'rabbanan, is that called you sitting home doing your own business? No, you're doing Hashem's business. It's not a d'oraisa, but it's a d'rabbanan. Maybe as far as that's concerned, Rabbi Chanan suggests, he has a habamin, maybe he suggests that that's not b'shiftecha, that's not sheves didachu d'mechaibis. Maybe in a chenami, if you're involved in doing Hashem's work, right? Even if you don't see low sasser, it's a d'rabbanan. But a d'rabbanan is also involved in a mitzvah. You're not doing your own thing. And then afterwards, he backs out a little bit. So that's not... That's just an interesting question about how he applies it to the din derabbanan. But anyway, getting back to this, the Gemara now suggests there's another source to osik mitzvah pater mitzvah. The other source is from the case of meis mitzvah. We're going to close with this point. The Gemara talks on right meis mitzvah. So the Gemara says ela oskim b'meis mitzvah hayu shechal shvi shalem lios per pesach. We're talking about people who are dealing with a meis mitzvah that the seventh day of their shiva fell out on Erev Pesach. Shenemar v'lo yochlu asas ha-pesach b'yom ahu. They couldn't do the Karban Pesach on that day. But the next day they could have done it. B'yom ahu, ein yikol lasas ha-lamacha yikol lasas. The Gemara explains why we need both. We need both b'shiftecha v'esech v'ledecha v'aderech, and we also need the case of meis mitzvah. Now Rashi over here points out, when the Gemara says it was a meis mitzvah, these guys in the desert, right? The Gemara has three opinions. Who were these Tameh guys in the desert? It was either the guys carrying the bones of Yosef, or it was Mishael and Safan who took out Nadav and Avihu who were burned in the Beis HaMikdash, or it was, no, people who were involved in a meis mitzvah. Let's just catch this Rashi. This will be the last thing we do today. Tameh a meis mitzvah, halfway down the page. Lav meis mitzvah dafka kamar. Rashi says when it says meis mitzvah, it doesn't really mean meis mitzvah. Anyone whose seven relatives dies, it could be the same case that the seventh day, any of the seven relatives dies. Nami meis mitzvah karilu. De mitzvah lehesasek b'hem. Kegon ha'amurim b'parshas kohanim
Shakoen mitamebo. Wow. So, Rashi says that when it says meis mitzvah, it doesn't really mean meis mitzvah. It means anyone who has an obligation to bury one of his seven relatives. And here's the question. Is there a mitzvah? Is there a mitzvah, really? Is there a mitzvah, I say, from the Torah for a person to bury one of his seven relatives? I mean, we know there's a mitzvah, kavar sik bereda bayomahu. There's a mitzvah of anyone to bury any Jew. But does the Torah anywhere say that you have an obligation to deal with the burial of one of your seven relatives? So Rashi seems to say over here, yes. This Rashi is a big chiddush. Rashi says that it seems to be there's namish and mitzvah to bury one of your seven relatives. Now, what forced Rashi into this? Oh, because meis mitzvah, if you wouldn't tell me that was really a meis mitzvah, so why? How do you have a raya from there, as Meir said before? How can you have a raya from osik mitzvah, patam mitzvah, from meis mitzvah? Meis mitzvah breaks all the rules. Meis mitzvah, kain gadol has to leave the Beis HaMikdash for a meis mitzvah. So that's why maybe where Rashi said, I'm not talking about lav dafka meis mitzvah, because then you would have no raya that osik mitzvah, patam mitzvah, from the fact that that the mace, the guy bearing a mace mitzvah was allowed to not do carbon pesach because he was bearing a mace mitzvah. Mace mitzvah breaks all the rules. So that's why Rashi says, that's what the Tur Rebbe points out. That's why Rashi says that it wasn't talking about a mace mitzvah. Now, but others disagree. But others disagree with Rashi. No, the Gemara said mace mitzvah, meant mace mitzvah. What are you saying, Rashi, that it means a guy was bearing one of his seven relatives? Who said it's a mitzvah to bury your seven relatives? Yeah, there's a mitzvah with the Rabbanan to bury any mace. For some mace, there's a mitzvah to bury. But is there a special mitzvah? Rashi quotes, and the Ritva has a pasuk, La Yitama. La Yitama means that a Kohen has a mitzvah to be mitami to a Zion Krovin. But La Yitama is written by a Kohen. Is there a mitzvah for a person to dafka? Do I have any bigger mitzvah for me, for a person to bury one of his seven relatives than for somebody else? Is there a bigger mitzvah? So Rashi and the Ritva sound like yes, but the Rashba says Mefurish no. That there's a general mitzvah on Klai Yisrael to bury all the mason, but there is no specific mitzvah that a person has to be mitami and to bury one of his seven.
So why
the
Yitama? What? So why the
Yitama? No, because La Yitama teaches me that a Kohen who's not allowed. Right, so they learned the Ritva and Rashi went out. No, the Rashba holds La Yitama teaches me a Kohen who's not allowed to be mitami to seven relatives has a mitzvah, and he has a mitzvah to be mitami to his seven relatives. That's a special thing by a Kohen. Right. It's written only by a Kohen. Because he's not allowed to be mitami.
You say it's an allowance, but not an obligation.
Right. Right. It's an allowance. La Yitama. Well, we'll see. But, and even if you say it's a mitzvah, yeah, it's a mitzvah, maybe it's only a mitzvah that he's supposed to be mechal his kahuna. He's mechal his kahuna.